Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Paranexus Universe. Today is Thursday, July 16, 2009. This is Doug Kelly, your host, here with Grant Rubin. Hey, Grant.
Hey, Doug. Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday night.
Yeah. Tonight we have a nice program. We're going to welcome our co-host who's taking the reins tonight, Mike Jones. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Still with us, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Come on down. Anyway, tonight's program is on the alien abduction phenomena, and if you've listened to past episodes, then you have listened to Mike's regressions and some of the discussions that we've had, and so tonight Mike is going to take the reins for the most part and discuss the topic.
Yep. Cool. So, cool. How's everybody doing tonight?
We're always
playing.
Good.
We're always good, and we're just pulling up our most comfortable chair and getting ready to chit-chat.
All righty, hang on a second. I'm having technical issues.
You're in. So, I know that, Mike, you had some different concepts, some different things that you wanted to discuss tonight. What was the first one?
Well, one of the first things I want to touch on here is I've been discussing with a few people, of course, worldwide. I've got my own website, alienabductee.org, and we have a forum, of course, and everybody comes in and shares their stories and finds out that other people are dealing with the same situation. The neatest thing that's been happening of late is I actually have got a couple other fellows. I'm not going to mention their name until they feel comfortable with it, but we have been discussing actually starting sessions of meetings where we are compiling information from abductees. The one thing that we have noticed in the field as far as research is the abductees are the clients, not the actual investigators themselves. So you know, there's one thing that's missing in all this is you know, the direct experience and being able to understand what's going on, being able to actually come to conclusions because you're the guy experiencing it. It's much the same way as a researcher doing, you know, ghost investigations. If you're there, you're experiencing it, you're collecting data, you're able to actually find answers quicker than trying to relay the information to a person. So we're hoping that this is actually going to carry forward and produce a little bit faster results than just going through the standard practice of relying on others that haven't experienced it. So I think that's really going to, you know, push the field a little bit farther, you know, in a lot of ways. As time progresses, as people start joining the forum, what we're planning to do is actually start building a board or a committee, you know, that will start working on this, you know, and have a research group. And I think it's really going to, you know, bring a whole new light to the subject.
Now, tonight, you're going to take call-ins, right?
Yes, sir.
If you would like to ask Mike questions or bring up topics, things of that nature, fill in. I'll put the number in the chat room. It's there on your screen, 347-9499. You can also use the click the talk button on your screen if you have a headset on your computer. So feel free to call in, ask your questions in the chat room. We're monitoring that. And also, Mike, your website's alienabductee.org.
Yes.
I want people to be aware of that.
Yeah. That is alienabductee without any spaces, .org. And I'm posting it right now in the chat room for everybody. And anybody's more than welcome to join. People that are not abductees are just as welcome to join. You know, this is a learning forum. This has nothing to do with bashing. This has nothing to do with anything of the sort. You know, these other forums out there are really bad about people, you know, expressing their opinion in the wrong way. What this forum was developed for was mainly for people to bring ideas front, you know, and everybody discuss really what is going on here, what will help make this situation stop, what's it going to take, you know, for everybody to go back to having a normal life. You know, that's the main concern here, is really, you know, your quality of life issue. You know, that's the research field in itself is really interesting. You know, we're talking either about aliens, entities, or whatever they are, and that, you know, that by itself is interesting enough. But my concern is the human condition here. You know, we're talking about people's livelihoods being affected their entire life. You know, they are having to constantly make decisions based on other people's expressed viewpoints on the subject, not their own, you know, life decisions, which are very, very important. This is bad. You know, this is that. You know, that's them esteem. That's not a good thing whatsoever. You know, you're worried about what everybody else thinks about you, so you can never feel complete. You'll never have wholeness in your life. So that's part of the reason I have this forum. You know, my main concern here is teaching people how to get back to having a normal life, where you don't feel embarrassed to go in public, you're not scared to go in public, you're not scared when people ask you about it. You know, there's nothing to be scared of, as far as
you know,
that's
Mike.
Concerned.
I think that's one of the things I admire the most about your efforts is the fact that you're providing folks with a forum and a friendly environment where they don't have to be afraid of ridicule or scorn. And they know that they can come there and communicate. And one of the things that has always interested me and you and all of us on the panel tonight have talked about how trauma and how traumatized the true abductees are. And maybe you could enlighten the audience and let them know what you guys are doing to break down some of those barriers and help those folks that have been traumatized.
Well, first off, one of the main things you have to be able to identify is you're dealing with post-traumatic syndrome. It affects you in all kinds of horrible ways. I mean, you know, you'd be surprised at, you know, the things that people take for granted. You know, you're like, say, you go to the mall. You're walking around. Normal people shop. A person that's abductee or anybody that's suffered any post-traumatic stress syndrome, there's little key things that will trigger paranoia, fear, anxiety attacks. I mean, it's very, very horrible. It can be just as somebody coming up and touching you on the shoulder, and it'll set you off to the point where you're ready to run. You'll get flashbacks in the middle of, you know, public, you know, places. It's really not a very nice situation, but there's a way back through the post-traumatic stress syndrome, and what it is you have to face it head on, understand where it's coming from, embrace it, deal with your emotions, even if, you know, you're crying, whatever you've got to do, and it takes time. I'm still dealing with it. I'm getting my way through it. You know, I'm muddling through it as much as everybody else, but the fact of the matter is I am getting better because I have decided to step up and take back control of my situation as far as I'm concerned. Now, does that mean that the abductions have stopped? I don't know. But I do know, as far as me functioning on a social level and being successful in my life, that has changed. Okay? So my quality of life has gone up.
Are you going to reiterate some of, you know, your general experience?
Yeah, I can.
Through the years, and
I mean,
show our listeners might be interested to know, especially those who think they may have been, might be abductees.
Well, I can give you some, and give you a little background so everybody else can kind of, maybe they can catch on to what I'm, you know, what's happened and maybe has happened to them. I'll start out with the very beginning. You know, 4 years old, a little boy. I've already gone to bed. I have this little man come into the room, well, what I think's a man, and it's a little gray entity. And not only can I not move of my own volition, he's asking me to go with him more or less by putting his hand out and leads me out of the room through a wall. Now, you would think, okay, well, that's got to be dreaming. Surely that's got to be dreaming. Well, as I go outside, I'm out on the lawn. Next thing you know, we're in a ship. And it just constantly kept progressing from there to where I'm seeing, you know, I'm seeing a Manus figure, which, by the way, I know some of you out there do know I've had regression. I remember a lot of these instances without regression. What led me to having, you know, regressions done is I had flashes of memory of all this stuff happening to me all through the years, and I had a lot of missing time. And what the regression did for me was it filled in the empty spaces. So I just want to put that in before I continue telling these stories so they understand, because I know some people do know my background. You know, I came across a Manus individual. I think it was female. They had me on a table. They were checking me out, and I guess doing their experiments or whatever. I was frightened to death, you know. I get brought back, and the moment I do snap out of it where I can move again, I'm busy screaming. Well, my dad comes into the room and tells me that it's just a nightmare. Now, my parents, as far as they're concerned, didn't know anything happened. It was more or less like they got turned off. And this happens quite frequently with a lot of people, including their husbands, their wives. You know, right in the middle of abduction, they'll lean over trying to wake their significant other up. They don't wake up. Their dogs in the house sleep, just comatose. So what essentially is happening is, for a better part of it, as everybody else is tranquilized except for the person that they're coming for, or people, which later on in my life I did actually experience that with several other people too. But there were several other weird instances. You know, I've actually had paranormal events happen, you know. I've, you know, seen wispy-looking things, ghosts. I've seen things moving in my house. You know, I still see that every once in a while. I see, you know, little hints of shadow people running around, you know, and there's all kinds of predetermined things that would suggest you're being abducted. Like, I'll give you a small list. Number one is you wake up in the morning with bruises that no way possible that you could have created yourself. You have needle marks. You feel like you actually have the flu with the accompanying bruising, stuff like that, almost like somebody's mugged you. You know, you have constant dreams of the same individuals coming in, or they may not be dreams. It's almost like it's lucid dreaming, but you know, there's something I made a comment to Doug once about. You don't smell, in my opinion, I've never smelled in my dreams. You can smell them. That's one thing I've noticed. You know, there's confirmations of it happening. It's amazing. The whole entire thing's amazing. I get overwhelmed sometimes thinking about it. But, yeah, there's a whole list of things that preclude you actually having an abduction experience. I will say this. Now, understand, there's a difference. There's a difference between having nightmares and having an abduction experience. With abduction experiences, you wake up with physical traces, physical marks, and things are not as they should be. You know, when you wake up from a nightmare, everything's in place. Some people, I think, do have issues with separating them. And that's something that you really need to be careful with. You know, don't put yourself on a line, you know, thinking that you're an abductee just because something, you know, that you've seen grays in your dream. That doesn't mean anything. That might mean you were watching, you know, a movie that night. But I can tell you, I'll give you a couple. You've got bruising, abrasions, or you have like phantom allergic reactions in the middle of the night for no reason, nosebleeds, discharges, I mean, just things that don't normally happen that your body's acting really weird for you. As far as the mental end of it, you know, next day you're real lethargic. You tend to have memory flashes, and there's no, you have no points of references for the memories you're getting. Of course, you know, due to the post-traumatic stress syndrome issue, you're going to be hyper aware. You know, you're constantly in the flight mode, so you don't even want to stay at your own house. You become really antisocial. You know, the other thing that you may, you know, get into here is, like, for instance, your dreams, experiences of interacting with something. You know, you'll see ghosts, spirits, dead loved ones. You know, you may, and this is really depending on what kind of background you have. I find with these entities, they have a weird habit of making you see what you're most comfortable with. So let's say, as a little girl, you love dolls. Well, you may see a doll that's 4 foot tall and trying to lead you out of the room, but they have large eyes for some weird reason. Or a person that loves animals may see animals, but they walk upright for some weird reason, like rabbits or, you know, whatever. You know, and there's even been reports of people seeing clowns come in and then escort them out. But, you know, there's various aliens that people report. Aliens is really a bad name. I think I'm going to start calling them entities. These entities that people are reporting, you know, come in all different shapes and sizes. My opinion of it is I think it's just a perceived situation. You know, they want you to see what they want you to see so you're comfortable, or they get the reaction they want out of you. I personally think it's all one and the same entities doing this. You know, it doesn't make sense that you've got multiple species out there doing the same experiments. You know, you're talking the amount of effort involved to do that would be unreal, you know.
Hey, Mike, in the number of times you've been abducted since childhood, how many times have you seen the same alien? Have you ever seen the mantis more than once in those environments?
Yes, I have. The first time was when I was 4 years old on ship. The second time was, well, I'm going to say that it was a dream, okay? I've been working through this post-traumatic stress stuff. I don't know that it was a dream. This is about 5 or 6 months ago in my own house, and that's the reason I really haven't put a lot of value to it yet. Of course, I haven't done any regressions to see if there's any missing information on it, but I could have sworn it was in my house with me, you know, and it actually showed up the moment that I had made the decision to stand up and start taking control of what was going on. And I don't know how many people have done any reading, but the mantis types are the ones that seem to be in control of the grays. They're kind of the doctors. And I don't know if they, for some reason, might have thought this situation was getting out of control, so they studied that, had a little bit more abilities than the grays do, you know. It's really
how do you perceive them, Mike? Have you perceived the mantises as friendly, ambivalent, hostile?
It's more of an indifference. It's kind of like, you know, the thing of it is with all this abduction stuff, it's like business as usual kind of attitude. There's no hostility, but there's no warmth there at the same time either. It's almost a mechanical.
Yeah, I was just going to say, could you go so far
situation
as to say automated or?
Yeah, they're, you know, the
automatons.
The grays to me are almost like biological robots, for a better word of it. I mean, they don't seem to be expressing any emotions that I can tell. As far as the manners, as far as acting, and I'm not sure that it wasn't just a projected personality, but I heard a female voice telling me to calm down when I was younger, when I was 4 years old. And what had happened was I had jumped off the table out of sheer fright of what was going on with the Greys and had run into the other room. And this Manus being, after they pretty much subdued me, had come up to the table again and placed its mandible or hand or whatever you want to call it on my forehead, and I could hear it was telling me to calm down, that it would be over soon, and that I had nothing to worry about. Well, you know, there didn't seem to be any intent in there other than just to calm me down. So as far as them having any hostile intent or having any good intent, I've yet determined that. Now,
so it's more coldly clinical.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's more of like a program running, and that's what I really do find interesting in this, all this. It's not, you know, if it was a human condition, okay, where this is something, there's something wrong with me, there's something wrong with all the other abductees, supposedly, okay? If it had to do with humans creating our situation, I would think, because the way we perceive reality and the way we project ourselves when we do have mental illness, there would either be hostility or great amounts of love coming off of them, okay, as far as what we're perceiving. That's happening. I'm not getting that. I'm not getting, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to what's going on. I cannot perceive why it would be going on. You know, I've actually sit down and figured the logistics out of, okay, let's see, how many abductees are supposedly happening a year? Okay, that would mean there's this many crews having to operate per year to abduct that many people. Well, that's way too many people. That's too, the resources involved are just outrageous, you know, to go do that on a nightly basis. So, you know, I think a lot of these people out there that think they're abductees, it's not that they're ill. It's not that, you know, anything like that's going on. I think it's just a confusion of something else that they may be misidentifying. When you're abducted, you're going to know it. There's no two ifs, ands, and buts about it. You know, you can smell them, taste the air. I mean, everything's different. It's just like being, I'll give you a good example. It's like the fish in a pond and a fisherman catching the fish and the fish experiencing breathing air for the first time. It's that different. And then you have to go back and, of course, tell everybody about it. That's, you know.
Well, it really rattles the very foundations of everybody's reality.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Abductee's reality. So it's literally have that, you know, everything is on shaky ground because everything you've been told, everything you've been led to believe in, depending on whatever filter it's, or whatever it's been filtered through, your perception or your, you know, the way that you look at things, it's completely filtered through that system. And
yeah,
you know,
well, that's the thing here, and this is from me talking to multiple people, and I mean from everybody from Canada to Great Britain, different individuals from all over the world I've talked to. The one thing that we all have in common, religion does not enter into this. There is no ties to the sense of reality that we've been taught as far as what is common, what is, you know. So if your belief systems incorporate God, Buddha, whoever, that's fine. Fact of the matter is, though, when you're experiencing this, you soon realize that these are other entities, you know, much in the same way dealing with another animal, except these people are sentient, and they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, they do not
care. That rattles everybody's foundation from the standpoint of, you know what, everybody who wants to be sheeple goes along with the whole hypothesis that this can't happen, this can't exist. So if you're just your normal, everyday kind of person, and you have the misfortune of being an abductee, good, you know, that's something that you struggle with on a daily basis. What is the nature of reality?
Absolutely.
And when can I expect my reality to be turned topsy-turvy?
Well,
I'm supposed to have privacy. I'm supposed to, you know, so all of a sudden you found, man, you've taken a little pill in the Matrix.
That's correct.
Okay, let's take some questions in the chat before I lose them here. And let's see, this is Spirit Carrier talking about physical evidence and dreams and so forth. Spirit Carrier says, I've never had any physical marks, but used to have night fears of the same situation when I was younger. My dolls would physically move when I was awake, but I never had any marks as far as I knew. I'm wondering, let me go back to it. I'm wondering if every possible abduction case would be discounted, the chat keeps moving on me, would be discounted as on that matter physical evidence alone. So, in other words, does there have to be physical evidence to be considered an abductee? Spirit Carrier says, for example, I and my roommate had been abducted together. She came back with needle marks. I was given tasks to do and was not touched.
Okay. The last comment you made is the proof. You had another witness. And especially if they're willing to come forward and actually testify with you that this did happen. What I'm getting here is people's perspective, people's sensory is a form of, you know, everybody has a different sense of perception. I don't know how many people have been in actual auto accidents, but if you'll notice, the police officer goes around and tries to find as many witnesses as possible. Does anybody here know why? You guys, right, you're just asking?
Say it again. Ask me again.
Okay, let's say, I was making an example here. Do you understand why a police officer doing a car wreck will go around and try to find as many witnesses that had observed that car wreck as possible to make his report out?
Grant, can you comment on that?
Yeah, I just think that probably because everybody has a different perception of what happened, so they try to find which ones seem the most closely aligned out of as many people as they can witness. And
correct.
They try to sort things out themselves.
Correct. That's commonality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have another person that's been abducted or witnessed it with you, you have corroborating evidence. This not only signifies that something did happen, but you also have proof of what you've experienced, and you don't have to question yourself anymore. Okay, I don't believe in this group hallucination crap. I've had people with me, and I've lost friends over this. Okay, and it was because they experienced things with me. And the thing of it is when you do have another person that's been there with you during that moment, it's important for both of you to stand together, compare notes, and understand that you just witnessed something very, very different from your outside of your norm, and not to let it scare you. Don't let the fear overrule the fact that you just got to experience something that most people out there are wishing for, not that you enjoyed it. I'm not saying that you have to enjoy this, but you need to keep it in context here. Yes, it did happen. Yes, it was bad, but don't let it control your daily life, you know. Now, as far as having dreams, that's the reason, like, for instance, the Manus that I was talking about earlier that happened, you know, several months ago, I still have that on the back burner. That's in a gray box because it was in the form of a dream. I will never say that actually happened. You know, and when I was 4 years old, absolutely, because that image has stuck with me since I was 4 years old and has never left me. And the only time that a memory will stick with you like that is from traumatic experiences.
Okay, let me ask a follow-up question, then I have another one from GDT. spear carrier who brought these questions up. Okay, but for most of my life, I never had anyone abducted with me. I'm willing to bet I wasn't the only one. What about those people?
Okay, let me think.
Well, that's not unusual either, though. A lot of times people will not have a group experience and have just an individual experience. And the sad part about it is, Mike, and I know you, both you and Doug will agree with me, is those people who haven't had the, who haven't gone through that really are struggling with reality, because they're, if they tell anybody, like you talked about earlier, Mike, some people are going to go like, oh, you need to go see a psychiatrist. Or somebody might go, you're just flat out crazy. So what they do is, because they have no outside contact, they just hold it in and think, I'm just like a little bit crazy. But I'll just try to get through with these, with my life as best I can.
Yeah, so but this is what creates that situation where you're worried about what everybody else thinks.
Right, but everybody's different, and so how everybody deals with their trauma, or most, I mean, frightening thing you can tell somebody is something that sounds, to use a person, is something that sounds completely out of the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, and so, and that's out there, that's out of the mainstream. That, you know, I've been abducted, or people come to my bedroom at night, and so some people are very reluctant. So the other point I was trying to make is that, you know, there are people. I think the most interesting ones are the cases where there's been multiple people that have been abducted at the same time. But the interesting thing about it is, even though they've had the same experience together, they were so... what's the word for it? Would it be post-hypnotically?
They were turned off.
They were turned off for years.
Here's the thing, guys. I think I know what Spirit Carrier is getting to. I used to have two friends here locally. I'm not too sure what's ever happened to them. They were both abductees also. Now, all three of us were being abducted. Not at the same time, all together always. Okay? So what essentially was happening is, you know, that each of us would have our own experiences, but what we were doing is we were banding together to be able to express to each other what was going on, to actually find a safe haven to discuss this. You know, back in the 80s, this was pretty much thought of as a mental illness. You know, and I don't know that that's not due to all the crazies that were in the 1950s trying to get on TV. You know, for myself, that's the last thing I really, when this all started, I wanted to go there at all, you know, even having, being about this. But then I decided that it was in my best interest to help everybody else, you know, that there's no reason not to help everybody else. It'd be foolish for me not to, you know. There was a whole 2 or 3 years there that several of us were being abducted separately. You know, I don't know if that's what Spirit Carrier is talking about, but we'd all talk to each other, you know, and we actually could tell when each other were having issues with this. So,
all right, let's address some other issues in the chat room. Gaga talks about, and I've lost part of it, an episode or an incident about 20 years ago when she was home alone. Husband out of town on business, 3 kids in the house, and she woke up. I believe she felt paralyzed, couldn't open her eyes, felt a presence pushing her down, felt violated. When she was able to come around, was not able to. Her underwear were missing, and they were found downstairs, and she felt violated. And she's wondering about this type of a thing. She didn't feel any sinister intent, just control. Do you think every abductee remembers is another part of it?
I think eventually when the time comes when you can start handling it, it starts surfacing. Everybody's different. I mean, everybody's completely different. You know, that depends on how you're geared. You know, everybody's born differently. This has to do with thought to deal with stress. This has to do with, number one, you know, the abductees, as far as I can tell, do mask your memory. They don't want you to remember things, you know.
And it has to do with triggers, too. I think that when people have been hypnotized, and Doug, I'll yield to your expertise on this, but I think when people are hypnotized, sometimes things that they've been made to forget can sometimes come to the surface when they see something that's external, like maybe they thought that the eyes of the aliens reminded them of a snake, and if they're at the zoo and see the snake, oh, my God, they have a flashback. They have a flashback to a very uncomfortable situation that they can't explain other than they know to them it was very, very real. So whether it was that or like, and this, by the same token, a veteran who's been subjected to the IEDs or the improvised explosive devices, from that point on, he's been traumatized or she's been traumatized, and every time they hear a firecracker go off, they're hitting the ground.
Well, also asking if I was violated by an alien, would I know it? And if I could be made to mentally distance, be made mentally distant from what was happening while it was happening, I assume I may have been abducted and not permitted to know? Now, one thing that bears mentioning here, now to my knowledge, I have never heard of an abductee just, you know, talk about being literally sexually violated, you know, like raped.
Well, okay, I want to add something here. You do know one of my past, the two friends I had, one was a female. There were two occasions where she had what they call false pregnancy syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was 3 months into both these pregnancies and never had a, what's it called? I'm not sure what form of a, well, miscarriage, thank you. And she never had a miscarriage. But the baby disappeared, or whatever it was, disappeared. Now, when she went to the doctor and was examined, they asked if she had gone in and had an abortion done because she was showing signs of that medical procedure being done. Okay? Now, does that mean something's actually happened? I have no idea myself. But it's very, very suspicious. You know, that's...
Well,
that,
you know, it's well documented, too, guys, that that's not a new sort of thing that males. I mean, you know, I mean, this goes all the way back to, God, 20 years ago, where they were having the same experience, similar to what you just described, Mike. And then later on, in between the time that they felt that they had this implantation and were carrying the baby, would have another abduction, and they would be told or that fetus was theirs. That was their baby that had maybe been removed later on or prior to it being removed.
Mm. Okay, now, so as far as the mentally being made to forget, to screen memories, the answer is yes. Not permitted to know, the answer is yes. As far as being physically raped by an alien, I've never heard that. Have you?
I've never heard of that either.
One of the early accounts of comes from Brazil around 1957 or 1958, where this Brazilian guy claimed to have been taken on board a UFO, and he was seduced by two females that were similar in characteristics to some of the things that the Greys have. Like mutants.
Okay.
Now,
well,
that case for many, many years was completely discounted by the UFO community. It was like an oddity because there were so damn few of them. But there are a couple more. There was allegedly some hairs found there that could not be attributed to any. Now, I don't know if that's hearsay. It's probably UFO mythology, but some hairs that were found there could not be attributed to any particular group. They were human, but they weren't Caucasian, Mongoloid, you know, anything, supposedly.
Right.
You know, this goes back to the same situation I dealt with. And as far as it being rape, that goes, to me, that would be like how you perceive the situation in a lot of ways. You know, different people are going to see it as different things. You know, it's kind of like your buddy coming up, tapping you on the shoulder. Some would perceive it as being tapped on the shoulders. Others would say you got punched. You know,
yeah, and by the same token, I would say that if you were subjected to a forced gynecological evaluation of some kind, yeah, that constitutes trauma, especially if you weren't a willing participant.
Right.
Well, she says that there was no seduction, no emotion, only fear. Feeling was only business. I was not to know, could not actually focus on what happening, nothing sexual about it. Okay. Now, that having been said, I was about to get to a couple of questions from GDT in the chat room. However, he is on the line.
Okay, great.
So let's take GDT. Hi, GDT. Welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you? And hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. We missed you on the video call yesterday with Zed in Britain.
Yeah. This is one of the guys from the forum, everybody. This is one of the individuals I was talking about we were going to start the committee with.
Wow. Nice to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. A little nervous, but...
fine. We're laid back.
Yeah, pull up a chair. Okay. We always love company.
Yeah. You had a couple of questions in the chat room, GDT. I'll let you address those.
Yeah. Just relax. We're friends.
I talked to Zed about this yesterday, and, you know... we've also chatted on your website about it, the feeling of dread. So we had a long talk about that yesterday. It's got a lot to do with hypervigilance. You're always scared. You're always looking around. It's a subconscious
right.
feeling that something's going to happen. But so we had long discussions about that yesterday. Too bad we missed you, but. The only thing we can go, it goes back to early childhood where you've never had that safety.
Right.
A lot of us had, you
know. Well, it's also characteristic of veterans, too.
Earliest ever memory. Right. My earliest memories are not being able to sleep. I still can't sleep. The you know, the tensions and all the rest of that, sort of, well, you never get used to it. It does affect you. But you tend to, you know, as soon as you finish your work, you get the hell out of, you know, the public and get home. It's quiet. You can control the stimulus, you know, the noise
That's
and
right.
all the rest of it, which is socially just not wonderful to grow up that way.
Well, it's debilitating, isn't it? Yes.
It is. It socially, you know, you can turn it on and get up and talk in front of a lot of people. You know, it's work. You have sort of a work person and your real self. But it's an act. You just want to get out of that because of the tension. You live with nervousness your whole damn life. It's tiring.
Right. Yes.
But,
absolutely.
You know, it's. For the first time, it's just the last 3 months since I joined your website that I've been looking into this and learning a lot of it from the Paracast and things like that. And
right. Well, I have a question for you here. Did you find sharing your stories on the forum actually help get rid of some of the anxiety?
Yeah, that had been building up since five, six, 7 years ago. When I first started sharing it out of total fear with Bud Hopkins in New York, I once in a blue moon get the courage up to go into the Intruders Foundations or those types of meetings, and you know they'd start talking about other things we weren't interested in, like crop circles or those things, and people that I had met that were other abductees, although at the time. I was just coming to terms with all these things. It was hard to believe anybody else, their stories. But, you know, Linda, which I think a lot of people know about and things like that, she was a chain smoker, and I was as well. So we'd go out to the pub or the restaurants and talk and tag along with other abductees to share. And, yes, that helps. Very hard to share it amongst any large group of people. I mean,
right.
I finally did after years of dealing with this. Bud asked me to be on an abduction panel, and that just scared the living hell out of me. but I let the other people
it's
speak first, and then I bleeped it all out, and I guess it turned out well because people were, you know, coming up and saying it was the best, most believable talk they've heard in years.
Yeah.
But
Well,
you know, it's,
you know, that's
it,
like,
no matter how
we were
dramatic
discussing
it is, it's hard to deal with. Yeah.
Right.
Excuse me.
I don't know how much Zed had talked to you, but we had been discussing getting together with the committee and everything, except not having a researcher there, actually having only abductees, which, to me, what this is going to do is get rid of the anxiety. You don't have to worry about anybody else being there, right? You know, that's kind of like the forum is. You're dealing with just abductees. You're not, like for me, for instance, I do research, but I am an abductee also. So what it does, I think, is gets rid of the anxiety of dealing with somebody that has no idea what you're talking
about. Well, you know, a lot of times, guys, we go through the world thinking that that we're a complete own separate universe, and we think that our feelings and the things that we experience are completely unique to us. And then when you get in a situation where there's other people and you start talking to them in a group setting, you realize pretty quickly that other folks feel much the same as you do about a lot of stuff, and it validates what's going on. So if you've had a really tough experience and you've been traumatized, just have somebody there who can go, uh-huh, or, you know, like shake their head,
yeah,
like, been there, done that, you know, it does wonders for you. It helps. It helps a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it does help. I think what you're saying is to talk to somebody and talk about, you know, the personal aspects of it, how this, because you don't know if you've grown up the way you are, you don't know whether it's normal or not. You can look around and say, well, geez, you know, why don't I ever go to these parties? You're just too shy, you're too anxious. But you find out by talking
right
to other abductees that, you know, it's this feeling of detachment from others is normal. And, you know, like 2 weeks ago, I printed off the off the Psychiatric Association's, American Psychiatric Association's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, and holy crap, that's me. But, you know,
There's no differentiation. The characteristics are absolutely the same. So, for the diehard skeptic who says, on one hand, to all the Michael Shermers out there who say it's just somebody's imagination. Well, everything.
Oh no, not in broad daylight
weird
with four people. No.
Well, the bottom line is, regardless, is that that person has experienced something that has traumatized
right
them.
Mm-hmm.
When
oh,
the characteristics
absolutely
are the same across the board, then why would somebody just... I think that's what differentiates the true abductees from the wannabes.
Yeah, you could probably put all those symptoms in a questionnaire. They click 90% of them. Well, they're probably a true abductee. Or they were in the World Trade Center collapse. Or Iraq.
Or they just
some
came
other,
back.
Situation.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Or
absolutely
you want to call it, or you could characterize it as shell shock from World War One. It's the same thing. They're
yeah
all traumatized.
But they had a life before that shell shock. That's the difference. They know what
now,
they're missing. They know that their life is different now. You know. Go ahead.
You had a question also about the trying to find it here, or a comment, or I guess it was a question about
the dread.
Living with
the dread,
yeah, the fear-based anticipation. You want
hypervigilance.
I was going to say, that has to do with post-traumatic stress syndrome. That's one of those things I was telling you about. You have to go back through all your experiences and deal with your emotions on it. At least that's what's happened for me. Like I said, I'm not sure how everybody else's coping mechanisms work, but for me, what I did is I went back and literally walked myself through these situations and dealt with it, and I had to be by myself to do it. There's a lot of self-examination going on with it. The other thing is you have to understand where emotion comes from and not let it take priority. You know, that's the thing. It's kind of like, when you sit there and, when you're constantly thinking of the same thing over and over.
Obsessing.
Yeah, obsessing. You cannot obsess
oh, yeah.
on that emotion, because what it does is it'll actually magnify what is really happening. You know, there's
no, I totally understand that.
Two if ands or buts about it. You know, that's just what it does. Now,
and you know, the other thing too, Mike, like we've talked about is that what's going on here is not all psychological. It's also physiological.
That's right.
So that you've got a double whammy. You've got your body that's when you have that hypervigilance, okay? And you can think of a way because that is probably the same way the soldier in the foxhole feels all the time in a combat zone. But the bottom line is you have chemicals coursing through your body that are preparing you to run or fight.
That's right.
So you got that, and on top of that, you have all the psychological trauma that's going on as well.
But, you know, that's what I was saying. If you go back and you walk through your experience in your mind and let yourself, and you have to be in a safe place, and that's the first thing I should say. For me, what I did is I went to my bedroom, you know, locked all the doors, comfortable, and literally let my mind go back through those instances and let myself experience the fear. That helped.
I've done that. I've done that. I had the one hypnosis session with Bud, not to recall any the situation, because all four of us recalled the, you know, coming upon that huge, massive UFO in broad daylight and the screaming. It was like a horror movie, our wives. Up until the point that, you know, we don't remember anything after, you know, what happened afterwards. So Bud Hopkins regressed me, and you know the. Reliving the beginning of it, and there was this pain of this electrical shock going through me. He brought me out of the hypnosis, thought I was going to have a heart attack. I guess he's played that at one of his Intruders Foundation, says it was this, probably one of the scariest regressions he's ever done. I went home after that. I've never gone back for any regressions. I don't want to.
Right.
But I went home after that, barely got back on the subway and then the train in New York to home, barely being able to keep my emotions from welling up. And I pretty well curled up to a fetal position on the couch for 2 weeks. And, so depressed and dealing with the other encounters, you just go, Jesus Christ, how did I ever ignore that? You know, there was three of us, and that was in broad daylight. That was in the papers. We listened to it on the radio when we came to as the UFO zipped across Vancouver Island. You know, that's how I came to, standing there with missing time, going, what the hell happened to it? In shock. You know the feeling, Michael. You know, you're
absolutely
in shock. You're sort of like, you know, numb, sort of like after a car
yeah,
accident.
It's that, it's that
blaring,
it's,
and instead
yeah.
of music in the back apartment, it was the announcer screaming about, oh, now getting calls up on the island. There's hundreds of people calling in. This UFO is zipped up to the northern pit. To the island, and you're still standing there listening to it as you slowly come to and go, what the hell happened? Where's the UFO? You know, and the thing took up three quarters of the sky in front of you.
Wow.
So you live, you recover, all, go through all these things that happen all your life to your early childhood, and let me tell you, that's a hard hole to dig yourself out of, finally accepting it. But yes, you're right. When you finally accept it, you can start moving forward. Do you get rid of all these symptoms?
And it's a slow path. It really.
Right.
Right.
You're never going to get rid of these symptoms because somebody comes back from war with traumatic stress disorder, he hasn't got the neural pathways that have been laid down since early childhood. I mean, it's no longer a temporary psychological thing. This is permanent. This is, you know, your brain
it's a scar.
Has changed since it
right.
started in your early childhood. You were petrified, you know, at night so badly because those little bastards were coming for you. You had no idea
That's right.
what they were. You've seen them. But you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And as far as you're dealing with the dread, if they're showing up, the way I deal with it is I don't give it any energy, man. I have come to the conclusion in my mind if it happens, it happens. There's nothing I can do to make that part stop. But the thing that I have come to terms with and understanding is I am in control of my life. You know, mm-hmm. you understand? So
yeah,
there's a lot of power in that alone, you know, that no matter what happens to me, I still have the last say on what I do. You know, just because they may show up tomorrow, they may show up tonight, it has no bearing on whether or not I have a choice to go do what I want to go do. And yeah, it sucks, but that's the way it is. It's just like everything else in life. You have to come to terms with it and accept it and live your life. There's no reason to sit there and let this obsession control you, you know.
Hell yes, it's scary.
I don't let it
control me. I've had successful careers, and nobody would have known I was like this other than probably the, you know, fact that most people would be would have mentioned that I'm very hyper, very how can you put it?
Hyper vigilant.
Well, they were scared of me. Very intense.
Yeah.
At work.
Hey, GDT, thanks for so much for calling, and I hate to cut you off. We're running down out of time here. But
no problem.
Thanks so much for calling and sharing, and hope to hear from you again.
I'll see you on the
phone. Michael, send me an email when you're going to be on the video conference next time.
All right. I sure will, sir.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks, folks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We are coming down on the last 3 or 4 minutes here of the program, so let's sum it up. One of the things that Mike and I have talked about previously is this whole concept of taking your power back. And you know, here's the bottom line. When the anger goes up, the fear goes down. And that's one of the things that's worked for Mike. However, it's not so easy. It's like words. You hear it, you know, it's a matter of getting passionate, saying, you know what, enough of this.
You have to live it.
You have to feel it. You
that's
have
right.
to make it. You have to own it.
That's right.
You have to own it. It's not, you know, hearing the words, okay, just take your power back. Well, what does that mean? It means something inside you clicks. It's when enough is enough.
You have to change your state of being. That's
yes.
the best way I can put it.
And I'm sure that you'll be discussing more of that on a future show on
absolutely.
How to do that, because there's some things that you've gone through over the past year that has aided in that. So, last minute or two. Go ahead, Mike.
One thing I would like to tell everybody is if you're finding yourself questioning whether or not you're an abductee, come on, sign up. It's at alienabductee.org. Anybody's welcome to come in. Everybody's welcome. I mean, this is probably one of the greatest websites on the internet as far as non-judgmental. You know, that's one thing we pride ourselves in. You know, we do not allow others to harass you, okay? So you have a safe haven to come express yourself.
Great.
You know, the other thing I would like to mention here, and as Doug said, for everybody out there that is questioning about whether or not taking your power back really works, let me explain something to you. I went from not having anything in my life, and I do mean anything outside of a car, to having a very nice job. My life's back in order. You know, I'm able to focus again. Okay. If you're an abductee, you know what I'm talking about when I say you're able to focus again. It's amazing. It's all about attitude. It's all about self-confidence. That's main thing you need to remember. And I will be discussing it again. And I appreciate you guys for letting me come on here and co-host tonight, by the way.
Well, thanks for
my pleasure. Great having you.
Yeah, and we'll of course you'll be doing this again and having more programs where you're taking this over, and there's a lot more questions and there's a lot more to say. I wish we could extend the time, but we can't.
Everybody come to my website, man. There's plenty of people there to answer. So.
Yes. You know, another really important point is if you feel that you're an abductee, the worst thing to do is to start wondering if you're sane, wondering if you're crazy, you know, being judgmental on yourself, kicking yourself if you would just go to church more, do this or that more, that it's all that. That's beside the point. So don't kick yourself. Just go find more information. And,
right.
And that's a good thing. So, folks, just a couple of housekeeping things. Next week, we are going to have a discussion on a panel discussion, Reinventing the Anomalous Research Field. And we have got some regional directors for the SCI program on tap. We're going to make a couple of adjustments to the program next week to accommodate some of our West Coast guests that are going to be on. We're going to have the show at 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock, so it's just going to be 1 hour later, and we're going to go do a 90-minute show. So it'll be just an hour later, so just bear that in mind. It'll be on Paranexus.org, the website, and please join us at Web Paranexus. We've redesigned the look. We're trying to make it a little more up-to-date. And with that, I have to bid you adieu. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Grant. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.
Sky. It's Paranexus Universe.